Morning, everyone. It is Thursday, April 26, 2018. It's 9 a.m. in the County Administration Workshop in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Present today, Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. First item of business is department business. 1A is transit. Item number one is intergovernment agreement with ODOT and the MPO Public Transit Providers Agreement. Scott Chancey's here. Our transit supervisor.
Thank you.
We'll turn it over to you, Scott.
Okay. This is a standard agreement that we enter in yearly or annually with ODOT, the MPO, and us, the transit provider. And just to let you know specifically, this is a federal requirement that within the MPO structure that the DOT and the transit provider and the MPO all agree to interact and coordinate all of our planning activities. The reason this came about is because some MPOs weren't including the transit provider in their planning activities. So this requires now, it makes it a requirement. So this is how we fulfill that requirement and show that we are participating in the process. As you know, we have an extra vote on the technical advisory committee just because we're the transit provider. So that's out. So Josephine County has two. But anyway, that's specifically what this agreement is about. There's a few things in here. Exhibit A talks about who owns some of these projects. I disagree with a few of those things, but with that said, I'm okay with the agreement as it stands right here. I made comments to it, and ODOT wasn't super responsive to put my comments in there, but I'm still okay with that. I mean, specifically what it comes down to is there's certain products that have to be produced by the transit provider outside the MPO process. And so that's what typically my comments were regarding. So that's pretty much what this is. And if you have any questions.
Who decided who has the ownership or the authority that's listed in the contract? Who wrote the contract?
ODOT. So like, for example, I don't remember if I scanned my copy or your guys' copy, but if you look at the plan, so we'll just hit the first one that stuck out, the Coordinated Public Transit Human Service Transportation Plan. It shows the owner being the public transit provider, and that one is true. I agree with that. But if you go further down through the document, you'll get to like a transit plan, and it says the MPO and the public transit provider is the owner of that document. I disagree. Our transit plans are outside the MPO process. Mm-hmm. They cover besides a greater area than the MPO. And then if you go further down, it talks about another one. There's a DEB plan. We have to have our own DBE plan, Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Plan, outside of the MPO, and also the Title VI plan, which, as you know, that came to you last week. We have to have our own plan outside of the MPO. So
why are they claiming they're just theirs?
Because they have to have those plans as well. So they ignore the fact that we have to have them outside the MPO, and I think it's just callousness to understanding that there's more than just the MPO within the greater planning area of Josephine County.
Do they do that so they can make changes to your plan?
I won't let them make changes to our plan.
Say,
any changes to our plan have to come through this
right.
body right here.
Right, that's okay. How they were going to interject their...
No, they can make comments just like everybody else. And
yeah.
I think it's, and these were what I stated back to them.
It's just a little misleading to give the indication that the MPO has that equal authority over the transit plan, which really they don't.
And I agree.
Then why sign it if it's not what we wanted to say?
It doesn't really matter.
I would agree with Commissioner Hare.
Take those on an individual basis.
Push comes to shove, mm-hmm. the transit plan, if it needed to be changed, they're going to make comments. It comes to us anyway. And really doesn't matter what the majority of this piece of paper says, that we're going to work together.
That's exactly
right. And that's fine. I don't think that we need to get too mired down in the details. And they probably use this for every MPO in the state, and it's kind of like a blanket document. And they're not really interested in changing it for the subtle nuances of Josephine County. I bet that's just for ease of administration. That's
okay.
How it goes.
I would tend to agree with that based on the reception that my original comments were received. That they're just like, okay, well, yeah, that's a great comment, and then they just ignored it and just kept going. And I'm like, all right. So
hey, at least they acknowledged they read it.
Yeah, that's true.
There's one thing efficient there.
Yeah, and just on a further note, a lot of the MPOs, the transit provider operates specifically within those MPO boundaries. So we're kind of a unique situation here where we operate not only within the MPO but also outside of it.
Really? Because I'm looking at like other seems as though they would provide service outside of their MPOs, but they
well,
don't.
Like no, like for example, RVTD.
You would know.
Yeah, RVTD's the MPO boundary is the exact same
as
RVTD's.
Yeah.
Same as let's say Albany Corvallis, yeah. That MPO or Albany's MPO. It's the exact same boundaries, and it's because it's operated by the city of Albany. And there's a little segment between, same thing with Corvallis. The only one I don't specifically know about would be Bend. Bend would be in the same situation as us, where they operate outside of the MPO boundaries, but
that's
I don't
the
know.
First one I went to in my mind.
Oh, right.
Ironically, yeah.
And they actually cover
two. How does that work when we're outside our MPO, which stops at Gold Hill,
mm-hmm.
and yet we're still have providing transit to Medford, which is in Rogue Valley's MPO?
I think that's less because you're jumping into another MPO.
Right.
But
what about Wolf Creek? It's not in an MPO at all.
And Illinois Valley isn't anywhere. You're not like even almost bridging MPOs.
And that was my point and what
yeah.
my comments
right.
were.
Right.
I have a responsibility, or we have a responsibility outside the MPO, and I'm not just going to focus on within the MPO because that's not what my, I guess, direction that I'm taking is. So
okay.
As far as any service that's outside of the MPO, we just provide it, and they have really no comment other than the fact that, in all technicality, we are bringing people in and out of the MPO, so that's how they look at that service.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think it's fine, too.
There's too much.
Any other questions for Mr. Chancy?
But I appreciate you bringing it to our attention so that, you know, in the future, if something comes up and there is that discussion at the MPO level, which you're the liaison to, of, you know, joint jurisdictional oversight of the transit plan, you can provide some clarity,
yeah.
having already discussed maybe a nuance of that.
Yeah.
And the Title VI plan, the other one they tried to claim ownership of.
Yeah.
Right.
Any problems?
I actually think our
forward?
Plan is better, but.
Well, of course.
No, let's move this forward.
Okay.
Let's just scribble on it and add our names to those three boxes and send it back.
That's what I did. It just came back the same way they submitted it the first time. So this will be on next Wednesday then, right?
Yeah.
You say we do this annually, so this is a renewal of a previous...
They changed some certain things in here. I didn't compare it to last year to see what it was that was changed. Because as long as the bones are in there in terms
yeah.
of stating that, hey, we are coordinating,
sure.
then I'm fine with
fine.
It.
And I think that for me is the nexus for it to be on the consent as opposed to like a new IGA, a new concept where
okay.
that might be more of an administrative... It's a change in policy, but this isn't, so I think it makes a lot of sense to put it on consent.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Next up, item B, is Public Works. Robert Brandis on board, Chuck DeJambe is on board. Item one is contract for Public Works Project, Merlin Sidewalk Improvement Project, project number MPO 2400. Public Works and Copeland Paving Inc., DBA, CPI.
Deja vu all over again. So in the month that has or so that's it's elapsed since the business session with the public discussion regarding sidewalks, we've had a couple of changes we've made to the plan to try and address the ongoing concerns of the businesses out there. We met on site with the Baldinis. That's the bump out in front of theirs is going to be knocked back by a substantial amount to keep that parking in front that they were felt strongly about. We've also got a couple areas like in front of a little pantry where we're going to narrow the sidewalk down a bit, allowing him to keep some more on-street parking. We've additionally identified an area that I think I spoke to the board last week about to create a informal county parking lot and actually a vacated right-of-way. So, strangely enough, the total net change in parking spaces is plus one when this is all done, as I look at it. There's about 11 on-street spaces that go away in that downtown core. I think that public parking spot is going to add about 12. There's one other bump out substantially outside kind of that downtown area of the project, but the canard that, oh my gosh, all the parking's going away is just not true. It's going to be about a net zero. As far as the striping for the bike lanes and all that, this area continues to be a mixed use, so cars are able to park curb tight as they are today. Striping on the road doesn't change. Bicycles will have a right to drive down that area as well, but like other county roads, they're also navigating amongst if there's a parked car or whatever else happens to be there.
Then we're going to put sharrows out there in the traffic lanes to let bicyclists know they are now in the traffic lane and they need to share the road with the motorist, and the motorist also warns them that bicycle to be present in their lane.
We don't have anything programmed at this point to put sharrows. I think we'd want to get it in and let it operate for a bit to see if that's a concern. But it's certainly something we could look at.
I just didn't know if the bicycle community is going to push back because it took the bicycle lane, basically took them out. And if you put the sharrows in there because it's just paint.
Well, the bicycle lanes won't change other than where there's those bump outs. So we may look at some additional signing to just kind of say, hey, be aware that there's a bump out here, that bicycle shared area. It's not a bike lane, but that shared area next down there a bit. But beyond that, yeah, I don't anticipate us putting something
in. Okay, so I thought we were taking bicycle lanes out. Dedicated bicycle lanes are going away.
There never were dedicated bicycle lanes. That's just what we showed on the plan to say that's where it could be, but it's just like Upper River Road where it's a shared area outside the fog line that you could park in, you could ride your bike in.
It's not going to be designated as a bicycle lane.
Correct.
It's just like it is now.
Yep.
The same as it is now. If there's a car parked there, you got to go around it.
Yep, exactly. That part of it will not change. We've talked to, so again, the two primary concerns we kept hearing from the business owners were Baldini's and Mr. Hirsch downtown right at that pinch point. We've met with both of them additionally, and they've both agreed to say, yep, we see the need for the project. They're both committed to signing the easements that we've got in front of them. As we talked about before, Copeland could start this project the Monday following next business session if it's approved and have it done before the July 4th. So that hopefully dodges not only the Merlin Parade, but the 4th holiday and the busy rafting season. We've had folks say, well, why can't we bump this till fall? My concern with fall gets to be if we get into early weather, if this thing stays open all winter, then we're going to have all kinds of blowback that, you know, hey, we've been driving around a mud hole forever and ever. There's not a perfect time to do it. That's the reality of a spot like that.
My efforts to interview the businesses out there and said something about, you know, why does it have to be during the summer? And I said, when you get done with rafting in the fall, which goes clear into the rainy season, because people, you know, they want to take advantage of the river after tourist season, after the permit side goes away. Mm-hmm. I guess a little after a week after Labor Day or something, the permit thing, then there's a ton of people that just decide, I'm going to raft now because I don't need a permit to go down the river. But also, as soon as the rafting season ends, fishing season begins.
Right.
So it's just really no good time in Merlin mm-hmm. to do this mm-hmm. other than, say, New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, because of the weather, we can't do that. So I think, you know, everybody, I said, passed along your 1/4, 1/4, 1/4. So actually the time in front of any given business would be less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, and truly this, it took on a life of its own. I think people have in their mind it's going to be like the 99 project in Rogue River, it's going to be like Shady Cove or these kinds of things. This project is nowhere near that size and scope. Copeland runs these all the times. So you're going to have them, as that project moves down, you're going to have businesses that are working around concrete forms and whatever for 2 weeks at a time kind of thing, but then move on from there, and they're still going to have access to the business, so there's not going to be this whole planter strips, the middle lane torn up, and all this kind of thing. And the reality is the safety aspect of this thing can't be understated and underscored enough. I was looking the other day, there's like 5,500 pedestrian fatalities a year, and 8% of those are walking alongside roadway type deaths, and most of the studies show that like 80-90% of those could be removed by having sidewalks in place. So I can't sit here and say there's going to be one removed out there in Merlin, but I don't want to have this meeting. We don't get this thing done in a year from now, somebody gets clipped out there. It will happen someday is my guess. It's just there's enough cars there and enough folks. And then the other bonus with this thing is putting in sidewalks, every bit of evidence you want to find, it helps restaurants, it helps Dale Hurst of the world, where people have a better ability to walk up there. We walked it the other day. Again, if there's cars parked in the road, you're walking through the grass in front of Baldini's. As we were, you know, if you've got a mom pushing a stroller or someone elderly, they're either walking between the parked cars and 7,000 cars a day, or they're trying to stumble through the grass. So to me, it makes the accessibility question for all those folks that much better, while having an economic boost and the safety factor. I am amazed that this has had the level of consternation it has. I get it. We
don't
want to.
With all due respect, Rob, it's because we're still missing the number one concept. It was the process.
Yeah.
You said it was two other things. I don't even remember what those were. But you were not addressing the fact that there was a procedural element of engaging with the public. If we had this opportunity to do this either as a board or whatever, there is no substitute for the board going out there. It doesn't matter whether you take an engineer up and down that road, or if it's not one of us or all of us, it's not doing what the public out there wants to see. And I can't say enough, I appreciate the Chair and Commissioner DeYoung going out there. That's what should have happened 6 months ago with all of the good points that you just raised. But getting that connection and communication early is absolutely key. So that's what I want to hear that we're going to do next time to make sure that we're not pushing water uphill for a good cause. I just feel like that goes a long way. When we've had like the Demick campus in that neighborhood, that demolition going on for 3 months, we did 3 or 4 meetings with the community in that neighborhood beforehand, and there weren't any complaints. Everybody kind of understood it. It needed to happen. We talked about the haul routes and when the operations were happening, and I would have loved an opportunity for the board to weigh in on when this contract. I poured concrete 365 with my dad. You can pour cement, not asphalt, anytime. Now, I know there's going to be an asphalt, probably an element every once in a while to this deal, and that's really key. So it has to happen within that asphalt window. But when, you know, that it was even proposed over the Merlin Parade's time of year is a huge shortcoming in the layout of this process and when it was going to be applied. So I apologize that I wasn't here on that Thursday meeting, but for procedural stuff, I don't want to talk about it for kind of the first time. I kept asking, when are we going to talk about this? The poster went up on the back board. Is not the time when we're proposing to sign a contract for a bid. So getting out earlier, it will go a long, long way to addressing, I think the community's concerns and the right, and we'll be putting our best foot forward. So I don't disagree. This project is probably a good thing for the area, all of those positives, but process is the number one sticking point that I heard from the people in that meeting. So
I do find it interesting that I found Facebook chat about it from last May 2017. And the one request that was coming from the citizens on the Facebook chat was for bike lanes to be included in the North Valley community chat. And I would say that it is just a matter of what nuances for each neighborhood are appropriate for getting the best response for communication and response, and figuring out what nexus is for doing that. So there wasn't a lot of interaction on the Facebook post. There was a few people involved, but not a lot. And at the time, it seemed the right one. Now I'd say there's a different one that is a post for the area, is the highlighting one. And so it's hard to say, but I would say there was dialogue, and both staff and I had responded to comments a year ago. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it reached the wide margin that...
Yeah.
And I think, when you look at the cross-section of, by the time you figure parking lane, bike lane, traffic lane, this lane, that lane, this lane, and now you're out to the full 60 feet or 66 feet or whatever that is out there. I think you'll find that a lot of people are pro bike lane until they realize how much room it takes up out there and
but the curbs aren't moving. I mean, I would have...
Well, curbs are not moving.
They are moving. There's bump outs.
There's bump outs, right.
Yeah, but those bump outs are approved by the people out there.
They weren't ahead of time.
They were not, but they are now. We've gone door to door, and we've made concessions on those bump outs. Some of them want them, some of them don't. That's like they were in front of what the... I think that, Chuck, correct me if I'm wrong, in front of where the cinnamon roll place used to be. That has to be bumped out because it's just steeper than a cow's face right in there. And if we went back in, gosh, you'd be building a 6-7 foot wall.
What angle is the steepness of a cow's face?
Look, next time you see a cow, you just visualize that, and that's how steep a cow's face is.
Just checking.
Whatever works for the analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Points taken. I think I would agree that the process needs to be different next time, and it's a new world with social media and everything else. We notice this more than we have anything else in the past, but how do we now target it further beyond that? It's because, folks don't look at the paper like they used to or necessarily listen to the radio.
The
so
the next ones are going to be Fruitdale, maybe, and I don't know that we're doing anything on Beacon, but, there's a couple in the queue.
And so maybe we set up a Facebook page specific to projects. I mean, maybe
exactly.
That's the world we're in.
I think it is, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but if we let the group drive the information sharing... I tried to weigh in, and the stuff that I took a picture of the I didn't have an electronic version, so I just took a picture of it when Jan was posting, you know, we're going to lose all the parking or something like that is what she said. I just posted the picture and I said, Jan, have you seen the proposal? I don't really see, I mean, I haven't really gone over it, but me just reading the design, what you're saying is, well, I haven't seen the design, is what she said. And it's just like, Jan, let's show you the design. Let's go over it with you, mm-hmm. everybody. Mm-hmm. And then we make an assumption or we make a
I think on this particular project, too, we had, I don't know if it's a group or an individual or whatever, but boy, they had a campaign. And they, because, you know, when I did my first walk through, I could only get to one side of the street, and they went right back the next day and told everybody that I was bullying them. Did I bully them in? I'm salesman of the month for Copeland Paving and so on and so forth. It was not a sales job. It was clarification. And I would be surprised at some of the things I heard out there. Where did you get that? Oh, well, yeah, well, we know. And I said, well, no, that's not. And we rolled the plan out. We put the tables together. We rolled the plan out. We went into their conference room with Lambert, with the RAF guy. We went to his office and laid it all out. Told him exactly what was going to go on. And he goes, well, that's pretty simple. I like that. Because it was. It's basically a simple plan. I think it just got blown out of proportion. And I think a lot of it came from the Shady Cove project up there. They see what happened in Shady Cove. Mm-hmm. Where's another place that I
Rogue
was?
Rogue River Highway.
That I was at. Yeah, Rogue River Highway. And where was I yesterday? Oh, have you been through Central Point lately? Mm-hmm. Holy cow. And I can see why that could probably be an issue. That's tough to get down Pine Street anymore. Because every corner has a big bulb out for a crosswalk. As if people can't walk the additional, they're in the crosswalk and they're not supposed to travel, you know, you're supposed to get right away. But nope, everyone, there's cement everywhere, it's going to be tough to get through downtown. And I guess the purpose is to slow traffic down. It'll slow right on down, I guarantee that. But I think that's what people in Merlin, the folks in Merlin really don't, they're not real conducive to change anyway. And this, to them, appeared that the way things are going to be, we're going to be in Jacksonville, we're going to be in Shady Cove, we're going to be in Ashland with banners and flags and all the other stuff. And they just don't want that. But we're narrowed down to, hey, this is a sidewalk project.
You know, what's really funny is that comments that people aren't using the sidewalk or whatever, they don't use it. People who need a sidewalk aren't going to use something if it isn't there.
Yeah.
You don't know how many people are going to be using it until you build it. I mean, moms with a stroller, they're not stopping. Mm-hmm. At multiple stops, if there isn't the opportunity to use that thing, elderly people, handicapped, so to say that nobody's going to be using the sidewalk, you can't really say that until you build it and then, you know, do a traffic count about how many pedestrians. But everybody's putting in sidewalks, so it's kind of like nobody uses roads. Well, they've been building them since Roman times.
Until you have a road there,
it kind of seems like if you build a road, you build a sidewalk, they're going to use it. You have no idea. I mean, especially during a parade or something like that next year, it will be really interesting to go up there next year after this is over and say, wow, look at all of the opportunity for pedestrians to park where they parked for the thing and go to multiple, you know, outlets in Merlin. I think the proof is going to be next year.
Just in my walkthrough, and when I got to think, well, nobody uses sidewalks, they're not needed out here. I take him out to the curb and I said, so who beat this down? Herd of elk? Because there's an 18 to 24 inch pathway inside the curb, which is nothing more than a mud hole when it rains. But somebody tramps that down because it's not grassed all the way up to the curb. It's beat down dirt. Somebody must have come through here. I don't know who it was. Maybe they only travel at night or something. But it was an interesting one-on-one with every one of the people out there. Very gracious. Everybody wanted to hear they wanted to hear what the project was really going to be, and I came out of there successful, with a good feeling that this is a project that I think that the merchants themselves, that was the one misgiving I had, and we've talked about that, Mr. Brandis, is that our notice was to the landowner. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. But maybe we need to include those merchants also because they're the ones that are being affected. They were the ones that was the big pushback in the first place. because they didn't know how long this was going to take. To them, it was going to be a four-month project, and it was going to wipe their whole summer out and absolutely kill business in Merlin. When really, when we pared it down to what it really is, I didn't know that. Yeah, that we're okay with that. And by 4th of July, you're done. In fact, I had a bet with Victoria. She says, it'll never get done by 4th of July, and I bet her lunch and she wouldn't take that because she knows it's probably going to get done by the 4th of July. But I think that, you know, when we get done horsing around out there, because I looked at the list of property owners, and they were Visalia, California, Medford, Portland, the Grants Pass even, to the folks in Merlin, the Grants Pass is a foreign country. The people in Grants Pass, I don't want their opinion on it. We want the people in Merlin. So that's why I thought it was imperative that we walk the businesses and do that. I wasn't trying to jump over anybody or anything else. Trying to just get an opinion and try to narrow it down to the folks that are going to be the greatest affected, which is those folks along there. Mm-hmm.
So you feel confident this is going to be okay?
I will suggest that we untable it and move the project forward. That would be my suggestion. It's up to the full board.
Putting it on the admin, then. That sounds fine.
Okay. Commissioner Morgan?
I guess the only question I have is the open house. What is the purpose of having the open house in the community?
The one like last year, mm-hmm. last May. To gather input to say, here's some concepts we're thinking about for this, and to start a soft rollout of, say, this project is coming. I mean, we started in the NPO 4 or 5 years ago, and nobody admittedly goes to the NPO meetings. It's, you know, times like watching paint dry. So that open house can kind of serve as a way to just get it out there for folks to start hearing about it.
So I guess then that's the feedback I'm curious about. Essentially, is there ever a time that we're asking the community whether the project is something that is something of interest to the community or not?
At that particular one, yeah, there was a dozen questions or so that were asked. They centered more around what's your preference in terms of bike areas or parking areas, those kinds of things. So at one of those open houses, yeah, you could have a battery of questions to determine any type of, you could take any kind of input you want. And they're tough to get input, period. You know, I remember for the Exit 61, ODOT hammered that thing. Let's go. By the time it rolled out, there was more staff than there were people. It's just tough to get folks to come to an open house until there's bulldozers ready to go. So that's another thing I want to work on for the next project like this, whether it's a Facebook group that, you know, goes for 3 months beforehand and says, hey, here comes an open house. Everybody, please go if you're interested. I don't know, but it is that it's just like the budget meetings. It's tough to get that public involvement there until it's 11th hour. So sometimes we have to work on process-wise.
I was surprised at the people that chimed in and where they lived. You know, we're talking a sidewalk project. It's all on Josephine County right-of-way.
But that goes both ways. Everybody has an opportunity to weigh right. in, and I'm concerned that we go to one of these and we ask just the people who show up, because I'm taking, you know, the natural resource questions that we've been asking for 8 years. I'm not always interested in just doing whatever 200 people come to an Ann Basker meeting about fire salvage or,
right.
you know, dedicating the Wild and Rogue through Grants Pass as wild and scenic. You're probably from Ashland or something like that. That's why, you know, even if it isn't affecting everybody by that wild and scenic designation salvaging, everybody has an opportunity to weigh in. So I bet it goes both ways, I think. It just... You want to hear from the local public, the people who are going to live with it day to day. But I drive through there, going rafting down the road. I have an opportunity as just a private citizen to say, what do you want, you know, in that area?
And we want to strike the balance, too, of saying, you know, for the safety elements, we try to say, hey, well, here's what we're looking at. Is there some things you would like to see to soften change? But the safety part of it, at some level, has to reside with the engineering, with the road department kind of a thing. So that's the other balance we try to strike with that. I don't want to go to a public vote to say, hey, do you think we should put a stop sign here? That's bad process, bad policy. But once a project has been identified, here's the basic elements of it. What sorts of changes would you all like to see within there? And had the process started earlier, then maybe that's when, yeah, we move the bump outs sooner than later. But at the same time saying, here's why there have to be some to make a pedestrian crossing safer.
I think it started early enough, obviously. It was the structure of how it moved forward with, you know, I really didn't know that much about it, and I didn't know how many meetings you'd had and what the process was, outlining it so we could say, when people came out, we've never heard of this. Well, I looked at the list, and it's no wonder you never heard of it, because the people who were noticed were not
property
people,
owners.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I would have, we would have had an opportunity to ask. I think we beat almost a dead horse about process, but getting us as, it's like a liaison coming here. I don't want to see something unless the liaison's had an opportunity to talk about it, defend it, work it out. Mm-hmm. All those questions, if I'm having to do that, what are the liaisons doing? What you know, so having all those processes worked out to where when it comes here, it's kind of buttoned up and it's pretty, and it's going to, those questions that are obvious are going to be asked and answered.
Well, frankly, I think we probably should have done that Thursday in here at the first admin when it was approved. There was not much at all. It was the next Monday where it started. And once that happened, I probably should have called the board and said, hey, let's pull it off the Wednesday agenda even for now, because
yeah.
It's going to be a 2-hour bust. So
go do some shoe leather.
And I was in the loop on this thing with Public Works as a liaison. However, I just, my inexperience, we've noticed everybody. And then when it came very apparent that the businesses hadn't been noticed, I thought, oops, there's a chink in the armor right there that we'll need to fix that going forward. You know, our noticing, you know, we get very comfortable in what is, it's a requirement to have the notices, but I think we need to go on some of these, especially out in rural areas where we're going to get a bunch of opinion. We need to do a little bit something different, you know, even if it's a billboard, thumbtack to little pantry bullet board, because that's where they get their news, you know, so on and so forth.
And maybe door hangers.
Or Facebook.
Is that a new set of plans printed up?
This is the one reflecting without the parking spaces and everything else shown on there.
Is there one printed up that shows the differences of what changes to the bump outs and everything else like that?
This one, it's just a handwritten on there with showing where the bump out would be with a new version.
Can I borrow that so that I can see it before?
Yep, absolutely.
I'm not going to open it up here. Because
I have one over here that I discussed with the people, and I think everything's
on. And the one on, and the link on Public Works webpage reflects.
Yeah,
same
reflects that one, so should be all right.
There's a link on Public Works website. Mm-hmm. Kim?
I'm good. I need to step out for a phone call. Apparently, there's something urgent to deal with. On ONC, Tim Freeman just said I needed to call him. I'm good with those other two.
Okay.
So if you guys want to review those.
Commissioner Morgan, are you okay on this?
We can move it forward.
Okay.
But maybe don't move past Public Works.
That's
good. Tell Tim not to talk a lot.
Item 2, order number 2018-035 in the matter of mitigating road damage, sinkhole on Beacon Drive at mile post 0.10 to 0.16, approving temporary closure of the roadway during repairs.
How about an easy one? It's not really a sinkhole. So basically what's happened is there's a crossing there, a GPID crossing that failed a couple years ago. Bigger pipe, they slip line a smaller pipe into the middle of it, and what's happening now is that distance between the two pipes is compacting. So we'll go out there, fill it back with asphalt. A couple months, it packs back down again.
So is this the old irrigation canal going through there?
It's a live one that's through there. And the fear being that if it keeps packing on top, that pipe in between the two is eventually going to bow enough to where it splits and we have problems. So this would involve opening the whole road back up, slurrying back around it, lifting it back a bit if need be.
Swam in that canal when I was a kid. Drove my bike in it to get over to Foothill.
Yeah. And so we'll be lead on this project. And if the question is, you know, so why are we fixing a problem that GPID caused? It's not entirely a GPID caused problem. We also have a good enough working relationship with them where there's a lot of horse trading that goes on. There's a sizable project out on Willow that's going to be happening in the next year or two where they're going to condition a structure of theirs to be fixed that otherwise would have been our nickel that's going to be piped under the road. So I feel like we've got a good enough relationship to where this, you know, it's a fair trade. We're on keeping score. And it needs to happen. We're, you know, as we're going to start moving from that south end of Beacon working north, we want to get this fixed before we actually eventually overlay that and get everything else in place.
Is this something that needs to go before the city council at all?
I was wondering that reading your order.
Technically,
I've been in contact with their public works group, and they have not indicated any city approval because it is a county road,
unfortunately,
not a city street. So,
I don't think everybody understands that's a county road inside the city,
right?
And you're going to get the people up on Beacon saying, "What the heck are they doing tearing my street up?" And they're going to call Public Works, and they're going to go, gee, well, that's a county thing, and now we get this tennis ball thing back and forth again. Yeah. So I don't know whether a presentation to the city council might help so that they can field the questions.
There is a notice process that I've requested within here, so I'm hoping that that kind of does cover, I mean, it's a lot of the people on Beacon in the immediate area, and then signing and so forth, so...
It might be worth asking the city if they can also resend out the same closure notice through their channels.
We'll talk with Public Works and Community Development, making notice folks as well, or put it up on the website.
I think it'd be valuable that the city is on board with the project also, just like you're saying, that they notice it through their channel.
Yeah, they're on board. They're begging us to get it done, but it's just one more. And that's people always get this one confused because it feels like
absolutely
a city street. It's right in the middle.
They get it confused because it's confusing.
Yeah. And we think they could probably get all the work done within 7 days, but we were asking for 10 because there's nothing worse than saying 7 and then it takes 8. So, as soon as we can open it, we will. And then I'm hoping to send out the notices and then to hear this on May 16th, the Wednesday meeting, to give anyone who gets the notice a chance to provide input. This is pretty standard to what we've done on road closures in the past.
Okay, you on board for that, Commissioner Morgan? So we'll move that consent calendar item?
No, he's saying that we're not going to move it till the May 16th meeting.
Yeah, May 16th, okay.
We want to give time for feedback from public.
Got it, okay.
Short detour.
And it would need to be admin, correct? Not consent. Because it's not a
budget.
It's not a budgeted item. It came up without...
Morning. Okay. Item number 3, order number...
I listen to you.
Order number 2018-036, the matter of replacement. 2 culverts on Cloverlaw Drive at mile post 4.3 to 4.5, approving temporary closure of the roadway during replacement of culverts.
Similar to the last one, these would actually be the first couple culverts that have come through under the contract we did with OBEC that we were in here for 2 months ago or so. So design is done on these. And looking to proceed forward with these. Tentative cost is looking a bit lower than we had hoped, so the initial contract with OBEC was for 6, but if we can extend this and get a 7th or 8th or somewhere else, that's the idea. But these are the first 2 ready to roll out and get started.
Is there going to be a detour out there, Cloverlawn? I mean, are you going to have to route people around Williams Highway to come in the other end of Cloverlawn or anything?
There's a couple streets that tie in through there, but it is a fairly decent detour for length,
Okay, so you're not adding 10 minutes to the drive time or anything of that sort?
It's probably not 10, but we can't look at a single lane there. It would just make that project drag on forever.
You can't do it, unless you don't have any choice. Single lane on a
culvert. Double the cost and whatever else it would be.
Also, we're teaming up the 2 that are right near each other so that we're trying to
Get it done out of there. You're not landlocking anybody?
We will not landlock anybody.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
Any incentive in the contract for completion on time or ahead of time?
We were just discussing that yesterday. Yeah, we'll probably do some kind of performance on Beacon for sure, and probably both.
That's
really that $1,000 a day or something to keep it moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Did that come up? I apologize.
I didn't hear what you asked.
Incentive to get on to finish the contract on time or ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Usually they come up with some sort of a...
We're guessing 5 to 7, like for Beacon, we'll put it for 10, and if for every day short of 10, you get a $1,000 bonus or something like that, just to induce them to get it.
But if they end up at 7, which was the original estimate, why is that incentive?
Because they would have bid it more potentially had it not been.
Okay.
And then they could take their time.
Disincentivizing them for going over that's,
that's the other route you can go,
I think if they come in on the expected, that's a wash.
Yeah.
But it's $1,000 a day for after, and it's $1,000 credit for a day earlier or something like that. Get it done.
And in case they fall behind, it covers their overtime if they're going if they say, okay, we got to get this done. If we can get it done a day early, we can cover all
the
overtime.
It's a wash.
They can make some business decisions, right? Do we pay 3 guys overtime?
They'll make decent money. They're in. Cover the overtime. Everybody's fine.
Mm-hmm. You just like to reduce the impact to the people, but, this is going to happen more and more. This infrastructure is probably aging, especially the more we look at it.
They're all put in the
60s. If you don't look at it, everything's fine.
Yeah. we're actually doing a 3rd culvert with this project, but it's not going to require a closure.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we're okay with that on the consent?
This one, I'm also hoping for May 16th for...
May 16th?
Yeah.
So we get a chance to get the notice.
Not consent. It needs to go to admin.
Admin, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Both of them.
You're good at this. I'm not.
Okay. You don't have to decide that today.
No, okay. It'll...
That's fine. I've got that one. Fine. Okay.
Great.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Get her done.
I should mention that we just found one 2 days ago. That's another one moved up the list now.
Yeah.
Penny?
That's what happens when you look at them.
We just quit looking. Our code is perfect.
What about the guardrail project? Is that this year or next year?
Yeah, we got 70% plans the other day. It probably go out to bid October, November.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, item number C, community development. Julie Phelps is on board. C1 is Merlin North Valley Panhandling Ordinance Discussion.
What do you have against panhandlers?
Well, I don't have anything against panhandlers, but as you know, we've been having the Merlin Visioning meetings, and as I discussed in my quarterly report, we had talked about how at the first meeting there was concern about the panhandlers, and then at the second meeting I asked them if they'd like a panhandling ordinance, and it was an overwhelming yes. There was no opposition at all. There was first meeting we had 48 people in the room. The second meeting was 46. The discussion started where at the first meeting there was some concerns raised about exit 61. Panhandling was one of the issues raised, and so when I approached the DOT about it, the DOT said that they can put no panhandling signs up there and they at exit 61, and they can be enforced by OSP, but they need the board to request that. So if we want no panhandling signs at exit 61, they'll do them. There's no charge. We just need a border. A
do
letter.
We need an ordinance or anything to that effect, or is it's on their jurisdiction?
Just
so.
A letter of request, it sounds like. We wouldn't
that's
have
correct.
Jurisdiction
okay, good.
Ordinance-wise. This is funny. Tim just sent me this commissioner candidate arrested again as one of the candidates that's running against him. Sorry to interrupt, but he might be on a...
Politics.
Exit.
Yeah. So
I would support us proposing a letter to ODOT asking that they enforce no panhandling. Post signs and enforce no panhandling at the exit.
Okay. So that's item two. Item one.
And further, I actually got some feedback. I've been receiving some complaints from some citizens that it's not just panhandling. It's aggressive approaching the cars. One... group of folks that were living outside in that area had taken a large rock and stuck it out in the lane of travel on Highland Avenue to get people to stop or slow down to have to go around so they could get closer to the panhandlers. And it was a level of aggression that isn't just giving someone a voluntary panhandling. It is actually causing harm and danger.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Well, at exit 61, there are some issues with the design and the signage and the lane painting and everything. So you add that element of people in there and then cars slowing down, or just compounding things
really
up
confused.
There, too.
So item number one is an ordinance discussion.
Right, so I want to talk...
We don't need an ordinance.
So I want to talk about the ordinance, okay? So at the second meeting, then, you know, we were talking about it, and I said, well, let me take this a step further. I said, it was a concern at the first meeting. So at the second meeting, I said, let me take this a step further. Do you want to see perhaps a panhandling ordinance for all of the North Valley, Merlin North Valley area? And again, overwhelming yes, there was no opposition. That one would be forced by the sheriff's office. And I had given Dave a heads up that I was going to be talking to the commissioners about that. And
it's
I know
a North Valley ordinance.
Merlin North Valley ordinance, right. It would basically cover this area. So Merlin out to I-5.
Okay.
That's considered our Merlin North Valley area.
Does that mean Larry can no longer come in here and
that's
ask
right.
for money?
No, because he'll be outside of the area.
Right.
He won't actually be panhandling in the area. He'd be coming here to do it.
That's a good point.
Just thinking, maybe
anyway.
We should expand that boundary a little bit to cover the board's conference room. No panhandling right here.
Anyway.
There goes the grant writing.
I'm working on something with that and on something else. But anyway, so what I did was, I know that the city of Grants Pass had tried something and they had a little difficulty with their ordinance. So I reached out to Curry County because I know that they had done one for
their... City got our ordinance through just fine.
Okay.
City does not have a problem with that.
Okay.
With any, if you talk to the staff over there, they were afraid that the Civil Liberties Union is going to come crashing down on Grants Pass and all the lawsuits are filed. And basically, I took a picture of the off-ramp at Garden Valley in Roseburg and the off-ramp in Central Point and a sign that says what the ordinance is and the number and everything else. I said, copy that, put it on a sign, and let's get going. And that's what we did when we were over there.
Okay, well, it's actually, I think it's actually pretty simple. What I did, I looked for an example of an unincorporated community, which this is. And Curry had one, and I remembered they had one. And it's just a real short and sweet, like two-paragraph ordinance.
Yep.
So with the board's support, I'd like to be able to have Augustus work on this and bring it back for a public hearing.
Sounds good. I'd like the liaison of the sheriff to reach out to him and see if he has comments or thoughts on it, too.
Okay. I'm in favor of it.
Well, the questions I would have is the level of enforcement. So it's a county ordinance, so therefore the enforcement would be a ticket into court for code violation, which is not necessarily what we don't have code enforcement officers, and it's not really a priority for the sheriff to be enforcing that. So I think I would just... Those are questions that I'm going to have down the road.
That's kind of why I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Is there ever going to be an ability for him to maybe just drive through
yeah.
a couple of times?
Now, as having resident deputies who are supposed to be patrolling in those areas, that would be something that is a community-oriented policing opportunity for them. Right now, their resident deputies are still handling calls from all over the county to their resident areas.
But as he staffs up, I think you know his expectation is to have that. So that's a good point.
Okay. I'll go on to number three.
Okay, number two, you're at panhandling signage at exit 61.
So to clarify, the ordinance that was number one is for the entire Merlin North Valley area, which I would say that we need to take some lessons in communication of we put the word out at Baldini's, we post something in a little pantry, we get some notifications to the community for participation in those hearings. Obviously, the visioning one is getting some response from mm-hmm. folks, and they're talking about it, but I just want to make sure.
Kind of a nice thing that we know the process, and it started with the Merlin visioning thing. It's not something we're coming up on our own.
Right.
I think that was the connotation of the sidewalks.
Right.
Like, we've never asked for sidewalks. We didn't originate this, you know. This was out there, so
yeah,
just by knowing that, it goes so much further. When we go to ordinance first and second reading, we're going to be able to say, we didn't come up with this. Where did this originate? Y'all came up with this.
Yeah, it came out of their SWOT analysis, their strength, weakness, opportunity, threats analysis.
Great.
So, and I just a little comment, too. I think on more controversial things, we might want to tap into our citizen involvement committee. Every county is supposed to have one on how you engage the citizens in decisions. Ours is actually the same as our plan commission. We have an ordinance that gives that authority to the plan commission, but we could tap into them for a little bit more public outreach on more controversial
issues.
Well,
maybe this is an agenda item that you put on for the Rural Planning Commission to just
to wear that hat.
Provide some sort of guidance.
Sure.
Check a box.
Sure. Okay. Moving on to number three.
On number two, so the signage is, you want to...
Panhandling signage.
Or this is an... Didn't we decide that's ODOT?
We
have to write a letter requesting it. So if the board's okay with it, I'll draft that letter. And then Commissioner DeYoung, you would sign that.
Okay.
Or we'd all sign it.
I'm okay with
authorizing
him. Yeah, authorizing the chair and especially as liaison to public works. That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
And just a reminder, they are doing some other work out there. They're doing more reflective lane painting. They're moving some signs to make it more clear where I-5 is, putting shield on the stop-and-go lights so it's easier to see.
Hey, if somebody can't find I-5, I don't want them on there. I'm just saying.
That was my suggestion.
Right?
Maybe we don't make it so obvious. I've been looking for I-5 for 2 days.
And they also,
okay.
They also started doing landscaping and shoring up the trees to get rid of some of the hiding places and make it cleaner out there. So, so they're working with us to try and help address concerns.
Do we want Commissioner DeYoung signing this? He hasn't gotten a call back from, you know, your buddy over there.
Not yet.
He wrote us that email about Caveman Bridge, so he's not on vacation. As an excuse, I guess.
Well, either way, we'll either all sign it or you can sign on our behalf, depending on what it says.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
If we don't like what it says, we'll let him sign. And
that's my line.
It's just going to be a two-sentence letter.
Yeah, yeah, so. Very short.
Let me tell you that your bus has an oil leak, and I'm underneath it, so I'm catching all the oil leaks and some suspension problems your bus has that you throw me under. I
just want to help you. If you need to carry water with you.
I'm teasing you. Okay, item number 3, sponsorship of the Enterprise Zone.
As you're aware, the county has an Enterprise Zone. It's all our commercial and industrial areas that are in the county. And what happens is this allows, what we do is the districts forego taxes when we're proposing certain, like commercial, if they're trying to get tax abatement, tax on projects that are creating jobs, they can apply for that, and that is run through Soretti. Soretti is our zone manager, but it involves the commercial and the industrial properties. And Colleen had given us a report when she was here for her quarter, for the Soretti quarterly report about the number of people that have taken advantage of that program and the jobs created. What happens is you have to renew that every 10 years. So there's a process where we have to go through and redesignate. So every 10 years, we have to sit down and we have to have a meeting with the districts and ask them if they want to continue doing that or if they have an issue with that. And then after that, if they're okay with that, we move forward and ask you for a resolution. That resolution has to be adopted by the end of June, I think. So what we did is we drafted got the list of the districts from Connie, drafted a letter to them. This is a template that we got from the state. So this is the template letter all Enterprise Zone areas use. Just notifying them that there's going to be a meeting and a presentation, and they're invited to come, discuss, hear their concerns, hear if they still support the program. And from there, we then bring it back to the commissioners and then say, had a meeting, this is how it went. Do we want to pass a resolution redesignating it or not? So,
do they have the authority to say, we don't want you to do this, and to stop us from doing it?
I believe you have the final authority.
Okay.
Because that is why the final action is the board resolution.
I should certainly think so, but I don't want to go through this process if I have one jurisdiction who says, no, we're not interested. And I'm a little confused because we have a countywide enterprise zone. We're one of only two, I think, in the state that has the countywide enterprise zone. It's a really interesting nuance with the city and cities, Cave Junction and Grants Pass. So
I'm glad you brought that up. So the city of Grants Pass wants to break their city and UGB out.
Yeah, they don't want it designated as an enterprise zone.
I don't think that that's exactly break it up. What it is that when the feds made that designation of this metropolitan area, that wasn't in place the last time. So before the last round, there were two. Grants Pass had one, and the county had the rest.
Okay.
And including Cave Junction. So the last go-round, they said, well, you could combine. And so that's what they did. They combined it all into one, which was really nice.
Yes.
But then the feds come along and make this designation, and now they're saying because of that designation, the city has to be separate.
No. The feds are saying that? Or the city's saying that?
No.
Because the statutes,
the statutes that...
The NPO is saying that?
The city is.
So the statutes that govern the enterprise zone exemption require the city to be separately designated because of that designation that the feds did. So it's the feds' action that's causing it to have to be done differently than it was the last time.
And the state law is saying if you are designated as an MPO, the incorporated area within that MPO,
right.
The MPO is much bigger than the city.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're not designating
the MPO boundary, it's the city limits boundary.
Right.
And the city wants to include the UGB.
Which one?
They're
not including the new one. They can include the old one. That's fine, because it's under city's code jurisdiction.
They're including the part that is within the city's code jurisdiction.
Not the new one.
Okay.
That's fine.
So, and then I did reach out to...
Hold their feet to the fire on the city of the UGB. I mean, I've been here. We did it when I first got here. 12, 13, you guys were still in the council. It's been 5 years. State's going to have to say, hey, you're going to have to start a new UGB process.
We're almost there.
I know, right?
And the state rightfully has, that certainly has the reason to say that.
I mean, so weren't they waiting on their master transportation plan?
That's what I've been hearing for about the last 5 years.
It was their facility study. They didn't do a full-blown water, sewer, transportation, infrastructure plan. All of those plans hadn't been done. So what we basically did was like a draft, say, this is what the UGB will likely be when we adopt it. Now go do the... And it kind of makes sense, you know, like, why would you do all this infrastructure planning before you
carve out part of
really
it.
Designate... Yeah. And then, like, every carve-out that you do that changes it, it's like, well, we didn't study that area. Now you want to put it in, or vice versa.
You'd have to do it twice, because it'd have to be what you finally came up with as your... This is going to be... This is what the UGB is going to look like. Because we did. We carved, what, almost 60% of that out.
1,300 acres.
Yeah, they really had a lot of it. It was pretty far-reaching, and we... So no, that piece of, you know,
well, nice thing was the population forecast changed from 2.6 to 1.9 in the process. So didn't mean to sidetrack you, but that's we need some incentive for them to finish their UGB.
We put that on the next city county meeting agenda as an UGB update.
So the current enterprise zone we have is for not just industrial, but you can also use it for hotels. So we would want to keep it that way is my recommendation on that. And then I did reach out to Cape Junction, and they haven't gotten back to me yet, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to be on board with it, especially since we're working on a hotel for that area. So
I have gotten speedy responses with City of Cape Junction via email. So if you're not getting one by phone, email's been a fast response.
Email is what I use, and I go directly with the mayor. He seems to be pretty good. I'm guessing he probably had to go to the city council, but he has time. So... The other thing is...
How long is that enterprise zone for? Are they like 5 years?
So this will be a 10-year period. 10-year
period?
Yeah, so right now we're doing our 10-year renewal.
I haven't done one yet. What are the other discretionary items? You said you could include commercial, like hotel. Is there anything we're not including or stuff we are including that we shouldn't?
See, we can't do retail. We can't do... It's industry or hotels, basically.
Traded sector style stuff.
Yep. And what I did was I looked at our code and saw what other zoning districts besides commercial and industrial would allow the type of business that could take advantage of the enterprise zone. And our serpentine zone actually could offer some people, because you can have certain type of industries, trade sector jobs, and resort type jobs in a serpentine zone. So I had Bob add that, but the problem was your total... Everything that's in the zone can't exceed 15 square miles. And once I added the serpentine zones in, we were far in excess of 15 square miles of enterprise zone, so I had to take that back off. So we're moving forward like we did in the past with just commercial and just industrial properties. Okay. So this...
How far in excess? Because 15 square miles times 640 acres, it's 9,600 acres, and I don't have that sheet... about what the commercial property and all the industrial adds up to. How far off are we?
I'll send it to them. It's like...
Double?
It's like a quarter of the county. It was a lot more than I realized.
Serpentine is not a widely used zone.
No, but it's out there. It's got like this whole chunk in here.
It's got some acres.
A lot of acres, not a lot
of use.
I know
one of those properties we're selling is a serpentine zone off of out there in O'Brien area. It looks like Mars.
Yeah, there's actually, like Chris said, there's a lot out there. It's just not used.
Yeah.
So
one of the things that I was thinking about is incentivizing like an RV park style, but you can do that on other zones. But that's pretty much traded sector. I mean, there's a lot of the people in transit, just like a hotel. But maybe if that's enough, if
it would be enough. But how close are we to the 15,000, 15 square miles with the current designation?
Rob is calculating that for me.
Okay.
So I'll know that for the public meeting, and then that'll be relayed to the board, too.
Yeah, does that make sense? Like, if we're only at 7 square miles with the current designations of the zones, what else could we try to achieve at 15?
We could pull...
And honestly, I don't know how critical that is, because the amount of enterprise zone exemptions we get is not that
many.
And, like, out in the Illinois Valley, it's like Taylor Sausage, you know, they've gotten it.
That's it.
You know, Rough and Ready was getting it in the old days, but I'm trying to think anybody else out there.
But one of the problems is...
You know, there's not a huge amount of...
Traded sector style stuff.
Right, because it's more your manufacturing and that type of thing, and they
have Fire Mountain Gems and Crosscraft were out there. Were they getting...
Crosscraft gets it.
Yeah.
Fire Mountains
has... They started out there in the Illinois Valley years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Those both have received it in the past.
Okay. So it may work. I mean, I've probably provided them a lot of ability to grow, and, you know, the Illinois Valley just couldn't fulfill their needs, and so they moved into more of the proximity to I-5. So I think it's got a good history of maybe really working.
Yeah, I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see more people taking advantage of it is because we lack industrial and commercial land.
Well, you just said we have a quarter if you put in Serpentine of our...
Well, I'm saying the Serpentine itself is like a quarter.
I think it would be really helpful, and you probably have Bob working on this, a map delineating exactly the properties located. Because when you just say all of Josephine County, I wasn't aware that it was limited to 15 square miles or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's just those colored ones on here, actually. When we say all of Josephine County, it's just your commercial and industrially zoned properties.
Yeah.
One thing we could think about is Serpentine within 1 mile of the state highways. And that would help us.
Yeah, something like that gets us to that 15 square miles. Is it 15 square miles for the whole county, or is it per enterprise zone within a county? Because if you take the city out, it's 11.7 square miles, 2 square miles.
So if you take the city of Grants Pass out, so the city of Grants Pass can have 12 square miles.
Well, it's only 11.7.
And once you get outside of the county, or I'm sorry, outside of the city of Grants Pass, we can have 15. So it's 27 cumulative.
I see.
Yeah. And then there's certain things where they have to be within a 25-mile radius of each other, which we'll have to get a waiver on. We did that last time.
Yeah.
Because obviously Cape Junction is more than 25 from.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
But what
I just want to be diligent with moving this forward and getting as much to that 15.
Yeah.
Is the cannabis industry with the processing and stuff, does that qualify?
No, because you're looking at public dollars on that.
Yeah.
And they're not filing with, they don't file with the IRS.
Oh. Okay. Well, maybe they can afford it. This is really for startup, you know, businesses in their first years to afford them, you know, reinvest in your company. You've got 3 years. Or applying for up to five.
And it's all about jobs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You have to job.
You have to create jobs.
You can maintain them for the 5 years, right, or the 3 years, or
if
minimum
you want
of
to 3 years. The 5 year, there's an extended provision if you're going to have higher wages. All Care Health, as an example, they have a 5 year exemption because they're paying above the median wage in the county.
What about Touch Bros?
Mm-hmm. Who keeps it on then? The employment.
McLean does through Soretti.
Okay.
Well, and also
they have to do reporting.
They have to apply every single year to get. So when a company comes in and gets, they have to get approved for the enterprise zone before they even break ground, basically.
Yep.
Whatever they're going
to
do.
Submit their business plan.
So they have to be approved and say, okay, this meets the criteria, and if you follow through and do all this, you will be able to get your exemption. So the first year they come in, they apply, and they get their exemption. It's not automatic for 3 years. They have to show, first of all, in the first year, that they met the income requirement. I mean, not the income, I'm sorry, the employment requirement.
Okay.
That you added sufficient jobs to meet the requirement. And then in the second year, you have to reapply or it just dies. So I've had some in the past where a company comes in and does that, gets the first year, and then they never apply again, and they don't follow up, and they lose it right away. Or there's other ones who get through
but
the whole...
But then they call when they get their tax bill saying, whoa, what's going on
at the end of their
here?
First year,
yeah.
If they have not maintained that employment, that might be a reason why they don't file again, because they are not... They didn't have 25 employees. They only have 20 of them left, or 15 of them left.
They have to pay back that previous
there,
year.
There are clawback provisions, yeah. And we've had a couple that have had to pay back.
Mm-hmm. There's also, I think, a one-year waiver, right, Connie? Like, if they don't do the reporting and they catch it, like, a year later, they can still go back, but that's, like, the only grace they get. It's not like they can skip it for 2 years and come back and report.
I don't know.
I'm not quite tracking with you on that one, but... But
we would have to issue a refund, and I don't know that we've done...
Oh, no, they can do a late file fee, but the deadline is like in April, and if they miss the deadline, they've got until August to file with a late file fee, but beyond that, they're out of luck. So it's, when So Ready...
That's Connie.
So
she's got it.
No, So Ready and I both send them out notices. You know, now's the time to file, and if they don't,
you've contacted me about so and so not having done it, and you know, I personally reached out to a couple and said, "Hey, this is coming up. You got to do it, or you're going to lose it." So.
How many businesses, round figures, do we have that are taking advantage of this program?
Right now, this year, I think we have
four or five.
Yeah, that's all. Not a huge amount. And
but the potential
several,
is there.
Yeah.
And
several of them are actually in the city. Taylor's the only one out in the county that's been applying.
I think the North Valley Industrial Park sewer system and available land, that's going to provide
that,
some foundational stuff for people to move in there, and then they're gonna do it. So this is key to the future making sure that the right...
Now you mentioned Rough and Ready. When they close down, that program stops right there.
Well, they actually had to...
They had to pay back.
Okay,
that's what I
realized.
That's my next question.
You know what? Speaking of the Merlin North Valley Industrial Park, we have a person out there right now, and I'm pretty sure his plans are for a 100,000 square foot building, and I don't think he's going to be able to go through because we don't have the sewer. So we're really cutting ourselves off when it comes to economic development.
Yeah.
By our infrastructure.
You get the sewer, and then you have this in place. Those are the things that are going to get some interest out.
Those are the attractive.
We'll be able to put some shovel-ready jobs on the state's list.
Okay.
I'm shovel-ready properties, and that will be really positive.
What I think I'm going to do for the meeting is I'm going to present two maps, one with Serpentine within a certain distance of the highway, and then this map, and see what the districts think about it, to see if they would support also doing it in a Serpentine zone. Again, it's not like every use in a Serpentine zone would qualify. It would just be those that would be traded sector jobs or a hotel.
Well, I think that would be my recommendation, and I think it's like we propose a budget. That's our proposed, that's the board's recommendation for the enterprise zone for the next 10 years. So it's not just you coming up with that.
Right.
It's a great suggestion. And hopefully you get right pretty close to that 15 square mile deal with it. You can tailor your how far away from I-5 to get to that sweet spot. But and I would like to be at those.
Okay.
So,
Commissioner Morgan, questions?
Nope.
Okay.
So we'll make sure you have that and get that invite. We're holding meetings together with the city on those, so we don't have to do two separate because we do have overlap
on
the
districts.
Are
you on number four?
And now I'm on number four.
Okay. Order number 2018-037. Matter of City of Grants Pass, Vilsian County Collaborative Economic Development Committee. Committee membership and committee bylaw revisions.
Okay, so when the city and the county met together last month and talked about the CEDC structure, the Collaborative Economic Development Committee structure, the city and the county agreed that there should be two educational positions added to that committee. And so
Commissioner Morgan didn't want that, so I don't know if we should go forward.
So the city has went through and passed their resolution. So now we basically have to do an order saying that we're accepting what the city did, we're accepting that as our membership, the city has to appoint those, and then that
city
also...
The city should not be appointing Three Rivers School District. The county should be.
Well, that's not what you guys said. at the meeting. So the city went back. So
we didn't say who appoints. No. We said that we want a membership of one of each.
There's no possible pathway to this, to the board acquiescing and giving authority to the city to appoint the Three Rivers. And it certainly makes sense, and the council can go back and redo it if that's where it's at. But they should appoint District 7. We should appoint Three Rivers.
Okay, let me just see if that's the
right one. I bet that's where it is. It's not a...
Let me
not
see
really a point of negotiation, but it,
yeah,
it's like it makes a perfect sense, you know, that they would appoint one on education. We would too.
Okay,
since we each had five, we represent, and then we just essentially add a school to each of ours. Yeah,
it's perfect.
Why would the city think they should be able to appoint both?
We don't. We will find out.
I agree.
But otherwise, that's...
yeah, we totally endorse that. We should be passing similar orders or resolutions. Adopt whatever mechanism we use to adopt the bylaws in the first place is required to adopt an amendment.
Correct.
So we can't just, we'll work that out. It's the concept, and if you guys are in favor of that, we can work out the details, the mechanism, and what exactly it should say.
Yeah, essentially, it would change the wording that we each appoint six, the five that we had plus a school district representative from our areas.
We can work that out. We don't have to do it right now.
Okay.
We're good to go.
So schedule this for Wednesday's meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll move it forward.
All right.
That's great. Thank you for being diligent on that.
Sure.
Taking our chicken scratch and making it so.
Well, Pat did that one, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to item D1, perpetual reciprocal right-of-way agreement with MMGOTT LLC for certain timberlands.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am looking for signature on a reciprocal right-of-way agreement with a private landowner. These are previous Spalding lands that ended up getting dropped out of the previous agreement that we had.
Yeah,
it never got recorded.
This
so this is...
I know it's a commute, but if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
Do what?
File it with the clerk.
Yeah, we will be recording this one, and so this is... a little bit of what I discussed the last time I was here about cleaning up some of the right-of-way agreements that never got recorded. Unfortunately, these were sold from Spalding to another private landowner. Good news is they need our roads as bad as we need theirs.
Excellent.
And we've got a good agreement in place. And it's actually kind of kick-started a conversation with some of the other industrial landowners and hope to get something done with them as well.
Great.
So there's other things that will spin off of this that are just were not recorded, or they were just a handshake agreement?
No, there's other landowners that we interact with, and we're the BLM, for instance, and he's working on that one and getting a little bit of a stall on, I think, things. And so, I had lunch with Jamie Connell 2 weeks ago, and Eugene, that was one of the reasons I drove up to, that was the only reason I drove up there. Having those relationships with the state director to where I can kind of pick up the phone call and phone and just say, hey, we need a little bit of a... The emphasis has been on special, on certain projects and not on stuff like this, but this kind of a project dovetails with the management projects. So you could do all the management, get the scoping of your whatever, and then you don't have access. We need to just get this buttoned up and done. Too much has been done so far for staff to change out, and that's what happens sometimes is like the guy who was working on it or gal, she retires, the person who comes in is like, I don't know what's going on, I'm gonna have to start over. And that's how you take a what should be a 6 month process and turn it into 6 years.
There's been a lot of old agreements that worked fine a long time ago, but there's been a lot of consolidation of timberlands in the private world and even parceling off of lands. Well, once that happens, some of those old agreements that almost operated on handshake back in the day aren't necessarily great in today's world. You want to try and solidify and legalize.
They wouldn't hold up to challenge.
It wouldn't be good for either party to sit in court and try to work it out. You know, it's best to get it done while I can, and both
Black
parties
and
are agreeable. Yeah. So I'm doing everything that I can to do that and having conversations with folks. I try to keep them as simple and straightforward as possible. We don't want to get into BLM type reciprocal agreements. Keep them, you can use our roads, we can use your roads type of agreement.
Okay.
Excellent. Spear, really appreciate it.
You bet.
Do I need a motion on that?
Yeah, I'd make a motion to delegate Chair DeYoung to sign on behalf of the board for the reciprocal right-of-way agreements and getting those facilitated through the forestry program and filed with the clerk.
I'll second it.
Okay. I agree. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Carries.
Thank you, Dave.
So I'm handling this next one as Mr. Weber is at an
epidemiology.
Yes, conference.
Do you want me to announce that?
Yes, please.
We're on to build it, or item E, public health. E1 is provider contract with Siskiyou Community Health Center, Inc. for school-based health center services.
So Mr. Weber actually talked to us about this last week briefly in his presentation, and I wasn't sure if this is something I can sign or is it something the full board has to sign. Full board has to sign. This is an ongoing program that we've had that Oregon Health Authority provides funding to the county, and the county passes those through to Siskiyou Community Health Center to provide school-based health center services for schools in the community. Our contract expired last year, and so instead of this being in, we had to start with a new one because we let it expire last year. And that was just transition of leadership, and it fell through the cracks. Siskiyou is asking that we get this as soon as possible because they can't invoice us until it's signed. And
was there any changes made, or is it just basically a renewal? Only it's not a renewal because the old one expired.
It's a renewal, but not a renewal. But okay. They are asking for the full board to sign. If they were asking that we consider signing today.
I don't mind signing it today because it is basically a renewal. We've been doing this since I was in high school.
Yep.
And but I think it is a full board just because it's outside of your signing authority.
Yep.
I think if we're going to do it outside, we don't want you saying, you know, somebody saying, how did you do this? And
yep.
So I would make a motion to approve the provider contract with Siskiyou Community Health Center Incorporated for school-based health center services.
I'll second.
What are the dates? Whatever the dates are.
Yep.
And that it'll be signed today?
Sure.
Oh, Ed, that was one thing. This is a 2-year contract because it's post-dated to cover since last June.
Well, it
that
makes
was
sense
the difference.
That it would be a state appropriation on the biennium schedule, so I'm cool with that.
Okay. Okay, you second that, Commissioner Morgan?
I did.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
3-0. Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 2, other business. Any other matters that should come before the board?
You mean, is IT not coming?
Apparently.
Okay, IT's not coming.
Okay. I don't have IT on my.
Oh.
On this latest version.
Yeah, you've got
it. Got it. It. They're on ours, so I'm like, what do you mean, other? We missed this one.
I've got two of them going here, so this one here was the latest version.
I have some stuff. So under other, item number 3, property sales coming up at the end of May. Helene was here for a minute, and I don't know if she had something specific that she was looking for. Maybe the item number C. I have requested that she work on KJO radio ads. It seems like that would probably be the most advantageous media to try to get out to prospective buyers. And so, you know, just 30 seconds, a couple of them, but I think it would be well worth it. We have a significant amount on the proposed sale. It's over $1 million in minimum bid value. So I think that would be really positive. I'm suggesting that maybe Commissioner DeYoung, you maybe, if you have the time to do those recordings, KJO can do it, but I think it's having a distinct voice that's separate from the typical ad. She and I can help write it, and then...
Yep,
and
you write, I'll read.
Yep, that'd be great. I would like to see if you wouldn't be so kind as to reach out. Ryan and I talked, and the typical inspection for the 210 Tacoma certificate of occupancy needs a fire inspection, mm-hmm. and the local person feels like that's just a little bit outside, totally certified to do it apparently, but outside his jurisdiction, so we need the state fire marshal. Do you have a relationship, or is that which has?
I can contact him.
Just see if you wouldn't mind working
so,
on that. For
so Ryan talked to Mike Shaw, who is the deputy state fire marshal, and he said it's outside his jurisdiction.
No, he just said he didn't have the time or it was kind of a
traveling deal. I'd be happy to contact the state one.
Ryan and I talked, and I think we left it with the idea that Southern Oregon Air Academy would pursue the certificate of occupancy, but I kind of changed my mind, and I want to be good to our word that said that we were going to provide Southern Oregon Air Academy the certificate of occupancy when they signed the lease so that they could do, they don't have to go through the hoops. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be easier for us. They're a volunteer organization. They don't have an executive director. If they did, I think I'd feel a little differently about it. But they've done so much so far. It's, I think it's in our best interest, and the least we can do is to just get them, you know, carry them over the threshold, so to speak. With that, I wanted to hear the board's opinion about moving forward. Ryan is seeking quotes and has received two on improving the asphalt, maintaining it. It's in need. It's
allocated within the site, within the compound versus not the road coming up to the gate.
Just inside the parking lot and other such. He's got one for, I want to say, 7 and one for like 17, so I'm thinking somewhere in the middle. He's also having this bid put together with other maintenance, parking lot maintenance, and he and I can do that one. I can't do the 210 Tacoma one on my own. I wanted your guys' input to say, no, we can let Southern Air Academy do that one, but that will probably eat up 50% of their first year's capital, you know, improvement deal. Or we can do that. We'll have that rolled into the agreement with this contractor who's going to do parking lots over here. And he had one other one, maybe up at planning or something, that we needed to fix.
I see value in giving them a starting point. So we give them something that's in need of repair and say, you've got to repair that. I would rather us repair it. And that's our starting point going forward. A certificate of occupancy, at that time, this thing is up to a level, and that's a starting point. Then you can depreciate back from that and say, you know, the parking lot, 10 years from now, you say, the parking lot's buckling up, and when they go, well, you gave it to us, you gave us a piece of junk in the first place, say, no, we gave you this, and that's the level we'd like it maintained to.
Okay.
I would agree to roll it in with the other one. I know there were some other issues out there that are going to be bigger mm-hmm. concerns that I would rather get addressed
they
as well.
Focus that.
That sounds like a small price.
I've heard. I don't know about that. We're looking into that one.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I mean, it just looks like old asphalt that's.
We're
never
not looking
been maintained.
To repave it. We're looking to seal the cracks and do a slurry.
Right.
And the contractor said that that's possible and can rejuvenate the
right.
Cool.
The asphalt.
It's
not heavy traffic. It's mostly the parking area.
It'll add to the life of that thing probably, you know, a number of years. I don't have a problem with that.
My other issue was the Second Amendment resolution mm-hmm. that I had circulated. I think it's not on the agenda because legal wasn't available for it. It might be. I don't know what the agenda is for the 11 o'clock legal.
It's page 2. It's
probably here.
It's over there, that black and white one.
Oh. It's not on here either, right? Okay.
Maybe under matters from commissioners?
Yeah, I'm happy to bring it up. I don't know if you guys had a chance to review it. It was the one, I think it was Coos County's, and that had a little bit of a difference from Curry County's. I'm not proposing to bring forth Mr. Rice's. I don't like the term sanctuary. That's not what I'm looking to try to provide by this effort. It's just clarity, incorporating our charter language, and other counties have done such action, and I just feel like some of the things that the state is proposing or what's getting spun up, I just want Josephine County to have some record on the book of where we stand. We do that on natural resources and a whole host of other issues, and I don't think that it would be. But if you feel like the wording isn't correct, the timing isn't right, any one of those, I'm totally open to just saying, let's just do this in the fall, or let's just. I don't want it to become, you know, a highlighted issue. more than it is. I mean, we're not changing any policy. We're just codifying and reiterating, in my opinion.
And I will try to read it before our meeting starts at 11 if we get done.
Great. On the property stuff, back to that,
I think we need to be on the tip of the spear. I think we should take a lesson from what Josephine County did on the cannabis thing, where all of a sudden the state imposed a law and we weren't ready for it. We haven't looked at that, I think, on the Second Amendment thing. Seeing what is coming down the tube on that, I think we need to have some clarification.
Well, let's bring it up at 11 with legal.
So that's this.
I'll let them know that we're going to probably end. If you need another copy of that, we can get you one.
Please.
So the one we got that you distributed was?
I believe it's Coos County's proposal. Nova Visuals, where we've got a contract with them to do an aerial. I just want to keep you guys in the loop on this. It's not Demaray. I can't even get the name of the street. She's not here. She knows it's the 60-acre property that I'm talking about on the auction. And so that's going to, it's $600
not
for
campus
60
or something like that.
Something,
it's college.
The top of College Heights, is it?
Something like that.
Around the backside, you come in off of Demaray.
I don't know why the Fords don't know. It's just sitting there.
Jeez. The Fords don't know. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, right? It doesn't matter. Anyway, you know which I'm talking about, but I think it's going to be really huge to highlight the potentials of this. And
we need to market that. That's a chunk of ground that really needs marketing.
I'll feel ill if it sells for the minimum bid and one person bids on it. That we will.
Yeah, we need to spark an interest.
So we're working diligently. She's got signs ordered for the Rogue River Highway, old Schroeder place. So we're leaning into this effort to try to market it. But if you can think of anything else we should do, let me know or get with Helene. That would be great. I think it's in everybody's best interest. That 60-acre property is assigned to forestry, so those revenues will be dedicated to purchasing, capital purchase of other. There's also on the website, all of the properties are listed, and then they're not hyperlinked, but I'd like them to be to a map that shows where they are. You just have to memorize the number and say, oh, well, that's that property and correlate it. But it would be probably pretty nice if it would just kind of like take you right to. I don't even know if that's possible, but we're going to work on that if it is. But I would encourage you guys to get familiar with that and then be spreading the word to anybody you know that's a developer or potential real estate investor.
Now, I think it was mentioned that we can remove any pieces of property that we would like.
We can, and I have taken a look at that Graves Creek property, and I could see removing that one.
Removing that Graves Creek.
I'd be okay with that. It's at the board's discretion. You don't have to do it today. You can do it. You can do it the day of the sale. We don't have a meeting, probably. We do.
If we need to pull it, what do we need to do to pull it?
You just tell me you want to pull it.
I would support pulling the Graves Creek property.
I would too. I think to pull it before somebody bids on it. I think.
Well, they won't bid on it until the 30th of May.
Okay.
So you don't have to make that decision today. I might even encourage you to go out there, take a look at it, maybe.
My opinion is based on the mining advisory committee I went to. Yeah, that just supporting what they were envisioning doing with the property, potentially kind of county park kind of access.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with that. So,
all right, I have a majority of court. We will pull that property from the sale.
Unless you need to wait, and I'm willing to wait until next week. But
I don't. I don't think I need to. I think I can endorse, you know, and if we change our mind, you know, in the future, we may or may not have a fall sale this year. It'll depend on how this one goes and what the portfolio of other properties to get off the books are. But we're certainly going to have one another next spring. And if it needs to go then. What I'm worried about is it sounds really good. People who are very interested, it can't sit there for 5 years and have a squatter. And develop into a problem, and then it just becomes a challenge to
do. It's exciting right now.
Yeah,
but let's make sure.
And I'm okay with pausing and exploring what might be a really great thing, but it can't it can't become a liability. That's what I have right now. I think we can.
Mr. Morgan?
I don't have anything at the moment.
I went to Council of Governments.
Mm-hmm. RV Cog.
And today they're going to pull the bids. They're going to open the bids on food and friends, see if it stays within budget or if it doesn't. If it doesn't stay within their budget, they kind of hinted that they were going to contact Josephine County to make up the delta there. They don't know what that's going to be or if it's going to be. I think they said they had four bids. So.
No comment.
No comments. Well, we'll just wait and see. I think, you know, it's one of those things you've got to wait and see what happens over there on there. Today, I think, as Michael said, today was going to be their bid opening, so they would have numbers today. So. I think we all have an opinion about that.
Then can we ask them to come in and talk to us?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
He hasn't been in here in months.
Michael hasn't been in here.
I think after the bids are open, that'll really give us an indication.
Yeah, I think
a presentation.
Talk about. I think that would be time for an update once they know exactly what's going to happen over there. This project, to me, in my mind, and I think in everybody's mind, has gone on way longer than it should have. Way longer. I just hope that admin doesn't eat up all the money.
Had a good meeting with Arthur on the budget and where we're at, and so I think we're in good shape.
I have a phone call in to Alex Campbell. We had a meeting out at the airport about a month ago, in which Marta said we were talking about the fire suppression system at Cape Junction, and she indicated that that was something that Regional Solutions could certainly pick up because it was in their wheelhouse, and Larry seems to have interrupted some traffic or something where they're saying, no, we're not going to do that. That's $100,000 that Marta basically committed to. So I want Alex to chime in on, see if I can find out what's going on over there at Regional Solutions. If it's a project that's not there, why isn't it there? Or was it a project that was submitted and turned down? I want to see what's going on.
You're the liaison. Did it come before the...
They have been having their meetings. So ready meetings have been at the same time as some of our other meetings. They're not on a regular schedule.
We cannot not be at the Regional Solutions meeting. That's not an optional advisory group.
Yeah.
If you're not at the table, you're on the menu every time. So even when you are at the table. So that's not we've got to delegate somebody else. I know there's an official appointee to that. Nobody's going to care. If a commissioner shows up and says, I'm representing, if it's you.
The applications for the funding are due. We're having meetings in July that I have on my calendar to go over those applications.
Like it happened already.
So I don't know if they've got an application, is what Larry's saying, or what.
I just got the invitations on the 15th. And they're on my calendar later, but as far as...
If we're hitching our wagon to a star, we aren't there, it doesn't go, but we were waiting. We have $100,000 committed from the Illinois Valley community building being sold and stuff. You might get it from Regional Solutions, but you're going to get the check in 2021. I'm not sure that it's one of those projects that we wait around for, the funding. The North Valley Industrial Park sewer system? Sure, because that's 2 years out and the funding's going to dovetail right when we're shovel-ready, ready to go. That makes a lot of sense to me, and Business Oregon can probably get that funded, everything coming together when it needs to. This is not that big of a project. It just needs to happen.
They haven't had a meeting, so I haven't missed one. They just haven't had one. Their last... Yeah, they haven't had anything, and they weren't able to get an agreement on a May meeting, so now they're looking at July.
Well, like I'm saying, I'm pretty sure that Larry just heard something in the wind.
No, he had a meeting. I called Larry on Tuesday when I was coming back from the tabletop exercise, and he was actually meeting with Regional Solutions. So,
okay. That may have been where he got it. We're working on it.
Let's be clear, he's meeting with Alex. That is not Regional Solutions.
Correct. It's
you
not the...
That group is Regional Solutions. So I'd like an update on that fire suppression system.
They haven't had a meeting since November.
That's Alex's deal. Yeah. He needs to get it done. And you, as the vocal representative of Josephine County, can make sure that happens.
Just some concerns over that fire suppression system.
I'd like a plan. Soon. And I what we've really been waiting on is the money. The money's been sitting there for a couple of months, and so we should be making some progress on that. And
okay.
It's an engineer first. We got to get a hydro engineer to tell us how do we hold water up there. Okay.
Okay, anything else?
No.
More business? Well set. Okay, so we are adjourned at 10:35. We'll have a legal counsel update, which starts at 11 a.m. this morning. So about a 25-minute break, and we're going to start again.
I do have something.
Haven't turned the recorder off yet, so we're not adjourned?
We're not adjourned at 10:35.
We're keeping going.
I'm frustrated that we are at the end of April. We haven't had a goals meeting yet. We're going to be in June or July, and years
are going to be over. Really plugged up me.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
This is kind of why I was recommending that we do a facilitated one, because then it kind of forces it to happen and get it done. But
put it on a calendar and it will happen. This is not my first.
Let's go through everybody's calendar, because May is it with budget, and I'm going to be going, I got some personal things I need to take care of. So let's see what our calendar looks like, and then let's set a date and let's just get it done.
It shouldn't be the forefront
of what you want, of the things you want to complete before you.
Shouldn't be me.
No.
I feel like I accomplish stuff very regularly.
Yeah.
You guys will look back at your 4-year term and say, we got a lot done.
In the first two years.
We didn't get everything we wanted.
I know where you're going with that.
My whole goal is that if you don't write it down,
you'll
look back and it's like, well, we had a lot of opportunity.
Ricky, if you could take a look at that, see what.
And it's really the homework before we get here. I don't want to make it up, get the list, have it thought out, and then we're going to be successful, in my opinion. I think we'll be farther ahead, a step in the right direction. That's all I would ask.
And we'll do that. Okay, now we are adjourned at 10:36. We will have a legal counsel update at 11 a.m. this morning. Thank you.